And good Friday morning. It is Christmas Eve 2021, Friday, December 24th, 22 minutes past the hour. You are tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship that's heard live here every Friday morning at 11:10 a.m., repeated Sunday morning at 8:10 a.m., and on Wednesday at 3:10 p.m. You can catch all programs on the website, WWGH1071.com. Go to Program Archives. It's the first show under there, the Pastor Spot. And you can catch the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service on this station every Sunday at 12:15 p.m., and it's on the website as well. Matter of fact, somebody this morning was saying they listen as they're getting ready for church on Sunday morning to the Sunday morning rebroadcast, so that's nice. We turn it over to the host of this show on Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, Pastor Whitaker.
Good morning, Scott. And good morning, Frank. How are you today?
Good morning, Steve.
Good to be here with you guys. Good to be here on Christmas Eve. I was kind of concerned we wouldn't have a Christmas Eve show after we couldn't go live last week because of a certain person was had a little laryngitis.
Much better this week.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We're at 209 East Water Street. I want to let everyone know that we do have a Christmas Eve service at 9 o'clock. It's the same time every year. I'll tell you this, it's a wonder. It's a candlelight service. It's nice. Kids love it because we always, of course, have cookies and hot chocolate available. But I encourage parents too because of the 9 o'clock hour. We kind of have it a little later so that people are able to get a few things done. And then we also encourage the parents to bring their kids in their pajamas if you'd like to. That way you can sneak them home and just cuddle them into bed and don't have to do all that preparation when they get home and just have a real nice quiet time of celebrating the birth of our Lord. And speaking of which, I want to begin this morning with an account in Luke chapter 2 that I know many of you are familiar with, and it's on the birth of Jesus. So if I could begin in Luke chapter 2. It says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the entire inhabited earth should be taxed. This taxation was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own city to be taxed. So Joseph also departed from the city of Nazareth to Galilee, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem in Judea, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So while they were there, the day came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same area there were shepherds, living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very afraid. But the angel said to them, "Listen, don't fear, for I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Jesus Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly there was with the angel a company of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill towards men." And that story has been with us now for over 2,000 years. And that account is just wonderful. I was telling someone this morning that, you know, regardless of what our Christmas is like, and it makes me sad when I hear people say that, I just can't stand Christmas. I just don't like Christmas. Or, you know, Christmas is a bad time for me. I'm lonely. I don't have this person. And I understand that. I don't mean to be not sympathetic to that or have any empathy for people, because I do. But I truly believe if our focus was truly on the fact that we're celebrating the birth of our Savior and what that means, I think that we can get through it a lot better if we keep our focus that way. And to me, when I look at that, the birth of our Savior, to me, is the ultimate giving. Mm-hmm. Because God gave His Son to come here, and everything that happened after that was a result of that birth. It was interesting. I was talking to my sister the other day, and my brother-in-law, Dean, passed away this year, and, you know, of course, you do have more difficult holidays. Dean loved Christmas, so, you know, those thoughts are there and missing him. And I told her, I said, "I know this is hard for you." And she goes, no. She goes, you know what, though? She goes, I look at it this way. If it weren't for Christmas, I wouldn't see Dean again. Mm-hmm. Because the birth of our Savior coming and allowing us to be reconciled with God and being able to be in heaven. And that's something that she looks forward to. So without that birth, that wouldn't happen. And I thought, what a wonderful perspective to have at this time. It is difficult that we miss people. But I also believe that just like that was the ultimate gift from God, I think that if we try to focus on the right things this time of year, our feeling of giving far exceeds what's coming in. Now, I have to tell you folks out there that if I haven't given you anything this year, think, huh, some hypocrite he is. The truth is, I'll try to eventually get to you. It's been crazy this year. We have reached out to so many people, and there's so many people, and it's wonderful. It truly is. And, you know, and it's not just that, oh, look what I gave them, or I did this, or I did. That's not what I'm talking about. It's actually reaching in and wanting people to see hope. And when you love other people, they see hope. When people see you loving them and caring about them, they see a glimmer of hope. Now, my question is to those that are out there helping people and doing things, as is important in most things, what is your follow-up? My point is this. Are you going to continue to try to reach those people and help those people? I told a young lady the other day that is obviously living in pretty dire straits, and most of it, I'll be honest with you, is their own doing. I know them. I've known them for several years, and it's their doing. And it's not a healthy, it's not a clean, it's not a good parental. The whole situation is ugly. And I told her, you know, I went to see her to take some things to her, and I told her when I left, I said, you know, do me a favor. I said, when you decide it's time to have a better life, get a hold of me. And I meant that, because it's hard sometimes to help people and you see them not getting better. You know, when I look at 30-year-old people, now, Scott, you're the closest in the room here to 30, and you're still pretty vibrant. You get around pretty good, don't you?
Pretty good.
You're always skating all over the place.
Thank goodness.
You know, and poor Frank's been beat up by arthritis so bad it isn't funny. But Frank still gets around. Matter of fact, Frank's ringtone on my phone is a horse galloping, because Frank's galloping everywhere all the time, and that's why I chose that. But the point is, when I see people 30 years old and they're physically drained, they don't have energy to get out of bed, they don't go to work, they're depressed, and their kids are having to live in that environment, something needs fixed. And I think that they need to realize that there is a God that loves them. And at some point, we have to make a decision to have the personal responsibility to say, I know where I am. I don't like where I am. My situation's ugly. I have all these things against me. But today and this minute is the day that I start doing something different and moving forward instead of continuing to regress. And everyone out there, everyone has that opportunity to do that in one form or another.
I think we might have a call here if you'd like to take it.
Please.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I was just sitting here listening to you guys, and I was wondering if the pastor couldn't keep my best friend and his sister in his prayers. His sister has terminal cancer, and he's the last of his family.
Absolutely. Can I just get a first name? Their first name?
Oh, my best friend's name is Randy, and his sister's name is Roxanne.
And she has terminal cancer.
Yes. Yeah, I think she's under hospice care now, so we don't know how much longer she's going to last.
Absolutely. Can we say a prayer for her right now?
We sure can.
Lord, I say a prayer this morning for this wonderful man that called in. I'm concerned about his best friend and his sister. Lord, I pray that you give her comfort and strength in this time, and let them feel and know your love, and that even in a broken world, you're here and you love them and care for them. While we're here, Lord, I do want to lift up a couple friends of mine and people that I know that are very grave in the hospital also. And, Lord, we just ask for your comfort and blessing on their lives. And thank you for your love and grace and for the hope you give us. In your name, amen. Amen. Hey, thank you for calling in. And Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to you guys, too.
Nice call.
Yes, nice call. You know, that's, and you know, even prayer is part of comfort. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, what can I do for someone? I don't have any, I can't buy people things. I'm physically limited. This is a great Christmas story, and I'll tell it because this just sparked my memory. My grandmother, she's been gone many years now. But the last couple of years of her life, especially the last year, she had pretty much become, she couldn't move. She just laid there. I mean, she had no ability to get up, to move, to anything. She laid there in a bed in a nursing home. And after she passed, one of the nurses told family members that she was the brightest star in the place, so to speak. That every morning they would come in and you know, get her around. And her first words were, who needs prayer this morning? Not how bad I feel or my aches and pains or when's this going to be over. It's who can I pray for today? And she would lay there in that bed, immobile, and pray for other people in the nursing home that needed prayer. And to me, that has always been an example when people say to me, what can I do? Yes, you can.
You know, it's interesting. I didn't tell this story on the air the other day, and I was going to. But in the Christmas season, you do tend to miss people who are no longer here and remember, reflect upon Christmases.
Absolutely.
I was very close with one of my grandmothers, and she was strong and active till she actually died on vacation. It was a shock to everybody, but you know, she was vibrant, still driving, all that. So the other morning I come in here and we replay Charlie's shows because you know, Charlie has went on as well, which is always good to hear Charlie. So I'm sitting down here getting ready to do my show and Charlie's taking calls and there's my grandma calling in.
Oh, what a blessing.
And I had not heard her voice in years.
Isn't that
and
one?
There it was. And I put my earpiece in to hear it, and you know, if I would have heard it the year after she died, I would have been sad. But this was, I was just, isn't that great? Isn't that great?
Those little blessings are wonderful, isn't it? I've got a friend right now, by the way, if you guys are out there praying for people, friend named Matt, and Matt's in a rehab facility over by Centerburg, and he's got, Matt is actually operating on a artificial heart right now. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to see him before Christmas. I'm going to call him here later today. I told him I'd be over. But I have had a cold, and I'm not about to go see him. And that's kind of sad and kind of hard. You know, you have to pick and choose. And I've got another friend, Zach, that's in the hospital, and keep his family in prayer. And a kid named Joey that is 19 and in very grave situation with COVID right now. And just keep those people in prayer, if you would. And so many others. And, you know, I think of the shut-ins this time of year. And try to reach out to them. You know, even if you can't go see them, I'm kind of limited as to where I can go and what I can do. I'll tell you, and I'm not saying this to say, look at what we do at all. I'm just trying to give you the situation. This time of year, because of what we have chose to take on at the church, leading up until Christmas and then for a good week afterwards, we are just go, 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 go. It's real interesting in our Christmas giveaway drive that we do every year. Like 2 weeks before Christmas, you're looking around and you think, is it going to come in? And then all of a sudden, it is just like a dam breaks. And so now you're in the process of sorting and organizing and putting and doing all these things. And then when we get right down to the last day or two, then you, after everything has been sorted and ages and all that stuff and what it is put together, you start looking at, okay, what holds do we have? Teenage boys, whoops, we need this, that, and the other, and those kind of things. So then we have another sometimes the same group of people, but we have other people too that go out and take the money that's come in and they actually shop to fill those voids. And I say this to say that, that even afterwards, there's people, you know, there's all kind of notices go out to the school district so people know this is going on. There's always people that miss it, or they're late, or they didn't pay attention, and they still come in. And matter of fact, even after we loaded up everything that was left and shipped it to Kentucky earlier in the week, there was a lady that called why it was already packed. Excuse me. And we actually had somebody go out and shop just for her kids. But I say that all that to say this, that you go and you go and you go and you go and go. And then all of a sudden, okay, now I got to focus some things back at home. Because, you know, I can't leave this all to my wife, although she does do 99% of it anyway. And, you know, you come down to the last couple of days before Christmas, and it's like, okay, you're trying to regroup from here to try to take care of the more personal things within your own home and your own family that you do. So it gets kind of crazy. And then with myself, I sometimes find the time between Christmas and New Year's is my time to reach out to some of those people that I couldn't actually get to because it winds down very quickly after Christmas.
You know what drives me insane a little bit is when we talk about Christmas, and yes, it's joyful and we should be talk about it as being joyful, but anytime somebody talks about some of the things that we're talking about, things we can't do, people who aren't as happy as we'd like them to be, people get very dismissive about that, as if that's a bad thing to talk about this time of year.
No,
I think shining light on it is the point. You know, I and just very quickly, you know, I have a grandfather who's still alive, but he's obviously up in age. And I, with the laryngitis I had and all the COVID that's going around, I am not going to go visit him this Christmas because I'd like him to be around next Christmas if at all possible. And so, you know, you do those things, and I'll give him a call, of course, but that's just the things you have to do. Like with your friend, you know, you have a cold, you don't know what it is, but you don't want to do something bad for them.
My mom's, one of my mom's best friends, Nancy. My mom's been gone, 11 years now. Yeah. And her best friend, Nancy, I intended on going down and dropping in and visiting her. I'm going to give her a phone call because there's no way.
No.
I'm not going to go down and give you know, now some people say, don't worry, I'm around everybody, everyone else, come over. And if you're doing that, that's one thing. But, you know, to intentionally inflict something. In a way, it would be.
Well, and when you're up in that age category, you're susceptible to anything more than anybody else, not just COVID, anything.
That's true. But, you know, you're right, Scott. I think we need to recognize there are people that it's hard this time of year. I think one of the hardest things is people that always had family. It was always a huge time for family. My friend Matt, he told me a few weeks ago at the hospital that his biggest thing he was looking forward to was they said there's a good possibility he'd make it home for Christmas, and he's not. And, you know, that's difficult. I remember 1 year, 2 years before my mom passed, they weren't able to get out and be with the family that was somewhere else that week for Christmas. And I remember how hard that was on her. And it really hurt my feelings that I didn't do more to realize that at the time. So I made sure that next year, yeah, she was fully, you know, we really focused on that because, you know, people do hurt. And just, you know, there's things we can do. You know, elderly people, they like the Christmas lights that you drive through and see as much as the kids, and they remember when they're kids. And, you know, that what's it cost to put someone in your vehicle and drive through the lights over here at the fairgrounds? What is it, $6 a carload or something? I forget. It's not much. But, you know, that's something that can completely lift their spirits.
Why do you think that we people get so dismissive about that? You know, it's really not that don't rain on my parade. That's not really what people are saying.
No, not at all.
They're just saying, I'm happy and we shouldn't focus on the bad. It's tricky.
I think that people are having such a hard time being happy themselves that it all comes back to many times in case of, you know, look, I'm having a hard enough time dealing with what I'm dealing with right now, and I want to have a happy, be happy. I don't want to bring this negativity into things. It's just going to depress me. That's just a wrong attitude to have. Now, granted, you know, another thing that I think people do is they'll say, there's so much out there that where do I start? Or, you know, if I go see this person, I got to see this person, I got to see this person, I got, you know, and that the point is, just do what you can. Do what you can.
Well, you know what, for me, and I always tell people this, and it's not to be flip, but as with anything, and Christmas especially, people say, well, how, you know, hope you have a good time. Well, it looks like it will be a good time, but to be truthful, I won't be able to tell you till it's over. Because you don't know what's going to happen at a party. Yeah. You don't know what could happen in the course of the day. You don't. Last year, I'll tell you, I went left the radio station on Christmas Eve. It was an uneventful Christmas Eve, normal, as is it would be. And I got a call at 4 o'clock in the afternoon that a friend of mine had COVID and was dying. I didn't suspect that at all.
Exactly.
And died the day after Christmas. So it was unfortunate, but, I mean, how do you know till it's over?
You don't. You just move forward and do what you can. That's the whole point about loving people and doing the best that we can with all that we do. You know, we decided to do something this year at the church that was kind of fun, and I just got to thinking about, you know, we haven't done anything as a community much because of all the restrictions last couple of years, and so many people, elderly people in the church, is really being afraid to get together. So we decided to have. On Tuesday night, we had a just come to the church and sing Christmas carols.
Christmas carols, I saw that.
And that's all that we did. And it was interesting. We did not have a huge, huge turnout, but we had a decent turnout. But it was very interesting. We had some people come all the way from LaRue that heard about it that just wanted to come and sing Christmas carols. And afterwards, you know, we had hot chocolate and cookies. We had a bunch of young guys come that were like 19 or 20 that just wanted to come and sing. And, you know, it's that thing of stopping and saying, you know, let's focus for a minute. You know, that's one of the reasons that churches over the years and over the centuries have always had a Christmas Eve service. Because they want you to, okay, everything's done. You've kind of done everything that you can do to prepare for this day as far as a holiday goes. Now let's prepare for this day for what it means to us with our Lord and come together and pray and sing and enjoy our time and refocus and get ready for what's to come. And I encourage people out there, find somewhere to go to a Christmas Eve service this year. I will also encourage those of you that are doing the Christmas Eve services, and I mean as far as the pastors and different people, man, keep them brief. And I say that I know you're going to do what you think you should do, but years ago I was in a service, and it just went on and on, and kids started crying, and mom started getting antsy. Next thing you knew, parents were bickering at each other. I could see it because you take them out in the hall, no, you take them. And I'm like, this isn't what this is supposed to be about. And I thought, you know, what are you doing here? So I made a decision that when the day came that if I ever had a church, which, of course, that did happen.
It did happen.
I said, you know, it's going to be one brief and sweet. That's one of the reasons that we do the Bring Your Kids in Your Pajamas. Because, you know, mom's sitting there and you got a crying kid and they're upset and it's gone too long and you're worried that you're disrupting the service because your child's crying. But, you know, you still got to get them home. You got to get them washed up in their pajamas. I think this is crazy. This is supposed to be a wonderful time. Jesus came and was laid in a manger in a stable, for crying out loud. If you can't come to a service and bring your kids in their jammies, what's wrong with us? What are we trying to put? Are we putting on airs somewhere?
You know what's funny? And I don't mind that people come in their pajamas, but it to me, and I don't know why this is, but when I was a child and not paying so much attention to everything else that I normally would, one of the things about Christmas Eve service that I remember so vividly is walking in and everybody was dressed up because they had all gotten new clothes for Christmas Eve, it seemed.
Really?
And for some reason, that still to me strikes Christmas Eve, just the feeling of it, this day. Because, I mean, you could just see it. The kids were home from college. It wasn't the little kids. You know, I they can wear whatever, and probably did in those days. But it was the kids who were home from college. It was, you know, I got my husband a new sweater, and he wanted to show it off tonight and wear it. And people just, you know, it was just something about it. It was kind of like
we have a tendency
of the same thing as Easter.
Yes, yes, very similar.
Everybody dressed up for Easter.
Hats. Remember the ladies in their hats? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. All the pastels.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, now one thing, most people do come to their Christmas Eve service wearing some kind of a Christmassy sweater or my mom always had these great sweaters that had bells and sometimes lights on them, and she loved to wear them out, and you know, she'd wear something like that. But you know, a lot of people, and we do that, a lot of people. Matter of fact, I'll probably have something of that nature on myself. But, you know, I don't think that I just don't think that it matters what you wear. I, you know, even in church, I know that we're, you know, people say, well, we should give God our best. And I think that when we give God our best, we give God our best here. But if you are giving me your best here, you're probably gonna want it. Also come looking respectable and nice to anything.
You know, I think it's just generational. I don't think anybody told those people to dress up when I was younger.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. I think people, it's, you know, when I was younger, I didn't see people in the grocery store in pajama bottoms.
Well, I see, now wait a minute, let me re-correct something about this pajama thing.
Yeah.
I was talking about the parents bringing their children pajamas.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, I think that for the point of self-respect, folks, put on some pants and you go to Kroger, will you?
Well, if you don't have the money and you want to wear a funny Christmas sweater, to me is I would get the same feeling as a suit and a tie, to be honest with you.
Well, actually, I had one on to wear in here this morning that had a cow on it with a Christmas hat and bells.
Yeah.
But
it's a little too warm out this year.
It's too warm.
It's a little too warm. 52 degrees this Christmas. But yeah,
it
would hit me the same way. So I'm not saying suit and tie and cashmere clothes. I'm just saying more. People, I think, had a little more time on their hands because they weren't with their thumbs doing this all the time.
Possibly. You know, I think that, you know, one thing I've always thought about, you know, coming to church, I believe that we should come as we are in our heart and how we want to be. And you know, and sometimes the best that you have is the worst that someone else may think they have. And I look at our apostles in the Bible that our Bible was written by them, and most of it, you know, and of course you have the Old Testament also. But I look at what they did and how they lived, and I want to tell you something. They were not going from town to town preaching and teaching wearing the clothes of the Pharisees. Matter of fact, they spoke out against the pride and all of that. And I think that sometimes we can... And the Bible addresses this also in a different way. But I think that when we come to church, the focus needs to be on the message that is given, the worship that is given, and what's going on collectively. And when you come and you've overdone it for yourself, you're saying, look at me, don't look at... You see what I mean? You're pulling that attention away from what is there. I remember that a guy years ago told me... I was on a deacon board, and he said, tomorrow's Communion Sunday, make sure you're wearing a suit and tie. And I intentionally didn't. Now, I know that's a little bit of rebel, but the truth of the matter is, I thought, are you telling me that this communion is going to be any less accepted if I'm wearing a nice sweater and a pair of khaki pants? No, I'm not doing that. And I guess I said that does make me a rebel, but I still hold to that today. I don't like the part of the church putting on airs, and I just don't.
Well, I think if you're telling somebody it's wrong, I don't think you should ever tell anybody. I don't know what I mean. I'm sure it has happened.
But on the other hand, Scott, if I decide that I'm going to wear a coat and a vest and a tie or something, that's what I want to wear that day. I'm going to wear it that day.
Well, it's just, I guarantee if you walk into, and I'm not talking about, I just want to clarify, I'm not talking about the super churches or whatever they are that are around. If you walk into most churches today who will have Christmas Eve services, you will see more dresses than you see all year round, no matter the age of the women. And it's not because I think they were told to do that.
They wanted
to do it.
And that's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is wonderful. Yeah. I don't think that God gives us dress codes. In a sense, I mean, we are encouraged to dress modestly, and that's for a number of reasons. And modestly is because, once again, clothes are an apparel to keep us warm, to keep us safe, healthy, a lot of reasons. But we're not meant to show off all the time. And I think that, you know, we shouldn't attempt to do that. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with looking nice and beautiful and the best that you can. And I think that's great. But like you said, if you're telling someone they need to do it, therein lies a problem. And I pray that the church most people are in wouldn't do that. I love the fact that in our church, I know that if someone comes in the door and they look like they're worth $1 million, they don't get treated any different than someone walks in the door looking like they need a meal. And that's just the atmosphere of the church. And that is, I praise God for that, because I think it's the right attitude to have.
I would say so. And I think that when everybody does come out tonight and does what they need to do, I think that, you know, whatever you have is fine. And that's, I think that's where telling people goes astray, because some people don't have the wherewithal or the means to do, a tie. But who cares? And that's, it's not important. There's something about this time of year to me that is interesting when it comes to, when you think, it is very a formal time of year. Not necessarily even clothes-wise. We have a lot of formal things that we do this time of year. And I think there's something about that formality that when that changes, when people don't put up a tree, when people don't do the nativity scene, when people don't go to a Christmas Eve service, when people don't have gatherings, I think that's when this holiday will become a problem.
That's true. You know, one thing I'd like people out there, if you can, listeners, to keep in prayer and really think about and commit to God this year is not only have there been unbelievable storms down in I know in parts of the Philippines, they're not going to have electric for probably a month from now. In other areas, in Kentucky and those areas down through there that got hit by this storm. While we're worried about, are we buying the right thing? They're not able to buy anything. And thank God for some of the churches down there. And I know some of them that are just outside of the damage area have taken on the responsibility of taking care of these people. And one thing that I think is really neat, Scott, that you'll appreciate this, is that they can't get mail. There's no place to send the mail. And there's no banks to get the money or any of that kind of stuff. So churches throughout the country and people are sending money to the outlying churches that are taking care of these people. The people in turn are taking the money to different stores that are around that are still in business, and they're getting vouchers from the money that's being sent and then distributing the vouchers to the people that need them. And I think that's a wonderful thing, way to be able to do that. And it's nice that the stores are accommodating in that way. But I know right now, initially right after it, when some of them were contacted, they said, what can we do to help? And they said, right now, we don't even know what kind of pipeline's being set up, and unfortunately, too, there's some towns that are like right on the edge of the worst of it, and some outlying areas that they're not getting the immediate federal disaster relief, that they don't have anything either. So lift these people up in prayer. That I think I have a soft heart for the little kids, and this is hard. This is a hard time of year. Kids are resilient, but I think sometimes we use that as a crutch. You know, a lot of times in situations of marital things and divorce, kids will bounce back. Nah, you know what? there are scars that are left, and we need to understand that you know, love these kids, show them the best that you can, and love in your heart. You know, they'll respond to love more than they'll respond to toys. Mm-hmm. Do you realize that? They'll get bored with the toy, but they'll respond to love all the time, and I think that it's something that we can do. One of the most inexpensive things we can do is love somebody. And I know people are always looking for, even those of us that talk about love all the time, are constantly looking for material things to bolster everything around us. And I think that sometimes materialism can actually get in the way of that love. You know, something else is pride. Our education level, Scott, and our degrees and our what we know. You know, I've learned some of my greatest lessons from some people that barely got out of high school and just grabbed life with all the gusto they could and did what was right and wanted to do what was right. And those lessons you can learn wonderful things from. Not that there's anything wrong with education, but sometimes we need to come down just a hair off our pride a little bit. You know, there's responsibility with education. You know, I don't want a doctor working on me that didn't go to school. You know, I don't want to, honestly, I don't want very many pastors, you know, preaching and talking about the Word of God that have never studied it and have never gone that extra mile to know the Word of God and through school or whatever they do. You know, you want someone that understands those things are important. But I think that sometimes, you know, in our culture today, we want to put on airs. Let's all get back to what's in here. I think that if all of us exposed our hearts and exposed our feelings, everyone would be shocked as to what's inside the other person. And many times we envy people because we don't have what they do. Be careful what you wish for, because a lot of times you keep right what you have. And I think that's something very important. We make so many idols out of people today. And then when they fall down, it's like, oh my word, you know, look what that baseball star did, or that pop star, or that wealth, or that pastor, that this or that. You know, let's not make idols of other people. Let's worship God and love people, and this Christmas make sure you're loving everyone around you. You know how cheap it is to go out if you have the money and buy a box of candy canes and just hand them to people and with a message of grace when you talk to them, and peace and love and whatever, you know, whatever that may be, whether, you know, Jesus loves you or, you know, Merry Christmas or whatever it may be. That's some cheap, easy stuff to do, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if we, you know, we talk about Christmas cheer, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, that's one thing I like about the story of Scrooge and that family. You know, in the end, all the joy, he got tickled because he saw the real meaning of what it was supposed to be. And I think that if we do that, I think that we'll have a much better time of it. And kids, I know there's probably no kids listening this time of day to this station. I'm going to tell you something out there. Whatever you get this year, be happy to have it. Because there's a lot of people out there that will not get anything or have struggled to have anything. And appreciate those things that people have gone out and do for you. And parents, please, 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 be responsible. Don't bring things into Christmas that shouldn't be there. Let's make it a sober Christmas. Nobody wants to get Dad out of jail on Christmas Eve. And that's important. We see a lot of that. And that's tough on kids. It truly is. Scott?
I think that's it.
God bless you guys. Frank, Merry Christmas. Have a great Christmas. You got Merry Christmas, everyone. We have Christmas Eve at 9 o'clock. Love you. Bye.
Yes, in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief. And I and my cap had just settled down for a long